In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the triumphal entry of Christ into the city of Jerusalem. And the first thing that he did after he arrived into the city of Jerusalem was he went to the temple and cleansed it of the money changers that were defiling the sanctity of that space. Then it says that he went to Bethany for the evening, and then the next day, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, beginning with verse 12, tells us, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." And further on in that chapter, on the next day, it says, when he was going back into the city of Jerusalem yet again, because he taught in the temple each of the days of Holy Week up to the point of his arrest, it says, beginning with verse 20, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." One of the reasons why fig trees are so popular in that part of the world is because they're very resilient plants, and they don't just wither away like that in one night naturally. Why did Christ curse the fig tree? The Gospel of Mark tells us that the time of figs was not yet, so Christ wouldn't have expected really to have found figs there, but he was illustrating something to the apostles. He was illustrating the fate of those Jews who had rejected him. Because unlike the fig tree, which according to its nature bears fruit 10 months out of the year, but this was during the 2 months of the year that it didn't bear fruit, we choose whether we will bear fruit or not. And so we have responsibility unlike this fig tree. He also did this to demonstrate to his apostles his power. He had the power to destroy this tree with a mere word, and he could have used that same power to have destroyed those that tormented him and crucified him. But he did this to show that his suffering was voluntary. And also, if you read on, he did this to show his apostles the power of faith. But this act of Christ brings to mind a parable that we read about in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, beginning with verse 6. "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." The fig tree again represents the Jews. The fathers say they were first visited by Moses, who brought them the law, and then by the prophets, and finally by Christ himself. So these are what is signified by the 3 years that the owner came seeking fruit and found none. A final chance was given to the Jews. But after having rejected Christ for 40 years, the temple was destroyed, and the Jews that did not accept Christ were uprooted, and the church of the Gentiles was planted in their place. The fathers also say that this parable applies to each and every one of us. We are like the fig tree. We enjoy a special place and are provided with great care. This fig tree was in a vineyard, but it was planted in some open space in that vineyard. It would have had a fence around that vineyard. It would have been protected. This vine dresser would have taken great care to do whatever needed to be done to allow this fig tree the opportunity to produce fruit. But after 3 years, it had not. Likewise, we're expected to bear fruit. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Digging about the soil at our roots is the Holy Spirit breaking up the fallow ground of our hearts, the hard ground that's around those fruits, so that moisture and nourishment can make its way to the roots. The dung represents the warmth of that way of life that is despised by all. And if we reject worldly glory and humble ourselves for the salvation of our souls, this enables us to bear fruit. We feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit when he's digging around our roots, when he's breaking up the hardness or softening our hard hearts. But if we continue to resist those promptings, we run the risk of being cut down and removed from the vineyard so that we no longer encumber the ground and are therefore able to make room for others. Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." We may have the green leaves of an outwardly respectable Christian life, but God doesn't just look at what's on the outside, but he looks on the inside. He looks for fruit, not just for the leaves. When the Father looks for the fruit in our lives, the vine dresser pleads in our behalf. The Fathers give a number of possible interpretations for the vine dresser. On one level, the vine dressers ourselves, because in one sense, we tend our own spiritual life for the better or for the worse. We're responsible for our own spiritual progress. The vine dresser could also be seen as our guardian angel who prays for us and seeks our salvation and tries to provide us with every opportunity for us to be saved. But it can also be seen as Christ himself, who is our advocate with the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." But in any case, the vine dresser pleads, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, then good. But if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." We don't know how much more time we will be given in this life. But each and every moment that we have is given for us to repent and to work out our salvation and for us to bear fruit. And so we should take every opportunity to do so, because we don't know when our last moment will come. Christ came to the fig tree on Holy Monday at a time when the fig tree wasn't ready. It wasn't the time for figs. But as I said, the fig tree had no choice in the matter. That was the nature of the fig tree. We have a choice. But the Gospels say, in an hour when we expect not, Christ will come. That's true of Christ's second coming, but that's also true of our own deaths if we don't prepare ourselves. We should be ready at every moment to face that final judgment. But you might ask, what fruit can I bear? I don't have any abilities. There's nothing that I really have to offer to God. But if you read the Scriptures, you'll find that God uses unlikely people all the time. As a matter of fact, it seems that God chooses especially to use the most unlikely of people, because when God does wondrous things through unlikely people, God gets the glory. When people who have great talents do great things for God, a lot of times we want to attribute that to their talents rather than to God's grace. But God can work amazing things through any one of us. If you read the lives of the saints, whatever your difficulties are in life, you'll find people with far greater difficulties than you that were able to bear great fruit for God. The example of St. Maria of Gatchina comes to mind very often when I think about this, because it's hard to imagine anyone who had a more difficult circumstance in life than her, being curled up in a ball of pain all of her life because of a disease that she had, unable to walk, unable to get up and go around. And yet she became a nun, and unlike most people who suffer from this disease, rather than becoming bitter or even insane as a result of all the pain that she endured, she became a person who was able to comfort people who were suffering from depression and despondency. And so if God could use someone like that, then whatever difficulties or shortcomings you may have, or whatever lack of talent you may have, God can use you. It may not be something that comes to the attention of other people, but you're not concerned about what other people see. You're concerned about what the Father sees when he comes checking you to see whether you have borne fruit. And if you're tempted to give up, you should know that the Holy Spirit is not the one that's inspiring you to want to give up. The fact that you're concerned for your soul shows that God's not finished with you. If God was finished with you, you wouldn't care anymore. If you were truly a reprobate, your salvation would be of no concern to you. And the fact that you've been given more time and you're still breathing means there's hope. And if you don't give up and continue to struggle, even the struggle itself is a spiritual fruit, even if you don't realize that that's the case. You need to only open your hearts to God and allow the Holy Spirit to break up the fallow ground of your hard heart and allow humility to fertilize your soul, and God will do the rest in you if only you will let him, if you will not resist his efforts. He's a patient and long-suffering vine dresser, and he will do all that's necessary for us to bear fruit. We have had another Lent come and go, and perhaps when we reflect on Lent, we don't see the fruit that we would have hoped at the beginning of Lent that we would have borne. It always seems each year it comes faster and ends quicker than the last one. And that's one of the reasons why, especially during times of fast, it's important for us to seize that opportunity and to begin the fast diligently, because before we know it, it is over. But nevertheless, we're all still breathing, which means that God has given us more time yet to repent. And so let's make the most of this coming Holy Week and allow the vine dresser to prune away everything in our life that's unnecessary, everything that sucks away the spiritual vitality of our lives. And if we do so, the fruit will come. And as Christ said in John chapter 15, verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Amen.